Welcome to the Josh Freeman Show.
Freeman, the pass toward the end zone. Toward the end zone. It's caught! Touchdown, Tampa Bay Buccaneers!
Now here's Buccaneers quarterback Josh Freeman and your host, Scott Ledger.
Good scene, number five.
We'll get you potted up here in a second. Good? We got you? Say it again. No, he's going to an audible. Yeah. We're having headgear problems, and we need him to try on a different helmet. There it is. No. They'll work on it. As we get you ready, as a matter of fact, this will give me a chance to mention that something that's going on off the field. Welcome to the Josh Freeman Show, and as soon as we get him, I'm hearing noises now. Yep. See, that's what happens, man. That's when you're running around on the sideline, and you're looking for Josh Johnson's helmet, and of course it doesn't fit you.
Yeah.
It's a little snug. But, you know, you can hear Greg Olson in your ears, and that's all that matters. All right, take two. Good to see you, number five.
Hey, good to see you, too.
Absolutely. You know, I was driving around the other day, and, you know, it's hitting me, so I know it's got to be hitting you that, you know, you drive by the stadium, and there's that 40-foot effigy of you getting ready to throw a ball, and I heard your dad on a talk show yesterday calling in the town, or someone tracked him down. You really are, you know, becoming the face of the franchise. I know you think football a lot, and I know, but do you ever get a chance to just kind of sit back and go, wow, they weren't kidding?
You know, I was taught a lesson by my college football coach and also by my dad, and it's about really working and work ethic, and you enjoy the season after the season when you can look back and say, wow, we put in all that work, we didn't leave anything on the field, didn't take anything for granted, and really that's the mentality that I'm taking. I want to go out and make every rep, make every day count.
I like that. That's a great idea. Jeff, when you get a chance, just check me those phone numbers. I want to mention that the Glazer Children's Museum is having a donor gala. That's this evening. Now, it's going to officially open on Saturday. But for those of you who have gotten a sneak peek at this, I've actually talked to a couple of people that brought their children over. Just a wonderful hands-on museum. They're having – where's the official address? Do we know that? We'll get to, if we don't know it offhand, we'll get it to you. Old Curtis Hickson Center, that's where it is, the Glazer Children's Museum. The donor gala is this evening if you'd like to go. I'm sure it'll be pretty swanky. The Glazers know how to throw a party. They're real excited about this. And, of course, then again, open to the public, the official opening on Saturday. All right, now let's get back to Pigskin. And the reason I kind of circled that, I'm kind of highlighting some of the things I want to talk about. We're not going to spend forever on, you know, something that happened 6 days ago or 5 days ago. But, you know, you in the press and everybody else said, you know, we're noticing the difference. Hey, this Freeman kid's turning our attention. He's smart with the football. He's making good decisions. And, you know, right after I got off the air, I said, you know, I started looking at incompletions. And I usually put, if it's smart, like a throwaway, I usually put a notation, not like a drop pass or something like that. And I think you threw the ball away like six different times. I mean, threw it away. Threw it down at the ground once, threw it off on the bad snap, you know, those examples. Is that just because the game's slowing down for you now? I mean, you just look like everything's happening at game speed for you.
Yeah, that's part of it. But at the same time, I'm also learning how to be a professional quarterback. It's not always about having to make a play every play. It's about when your defense is playing well, not making that mistake that can cost you the game.
No, is that because, you know, you remember five pick games like you had last year in Carolina. It's got to be pretty good to go in this week coming out of that game, four touchdowns and a pick. That's a nice ratio. You want to have that ratio all year long, four touchdowns for every pick. So you're already seeing some of the fruits of the labor, huh?
Yeah, but obviously it's only the first two games, and after watching the film for both those games, there's still plenty of room to improve and plenty of points left on the field, so and we're going to look to go out and find ways to get those points in the next few weeks.
I'm not sure who it was, and maybe it was Pat Kerwin. It's one of the guys from Sirius, I believe. I heard an interview with you that suggested that you run with the ball.
Yeah, I think that was Pat Kerwin.
Use your legs. You kind of took that advice. You know, you in the second possession, you throw a deep pass to Winslow, a nice 24-yarder on 3rd and 10. That was like your real first big play. You had a scramble before that. And then you decided to do the same thing again and run the ball, and then later on, you get the short touchdown pass to Ernest Graham. But what was the game plan going in, and when were you deciding to run? Was that something, you know, a second into the play, one progression, two progression run? Well, how was that working for you?
No, it was really just an alert. You know, when you play the Panthers, they like to play a lot of man to man and make you beat them downfield, and when they play cover two man, they don't have enough bodies underneath to account for the quarterback. So whenever we saw cover two man or I was going through a regression and saw a wide open running lane, I mean, I took advantage of it. So it's more of a, I guess, somewhat of an intuition thing. Feeling it.
How about the one down the sideline where you kind of deked, looked like you deked the linebacker? A little Cadillac side, little.
Yeah.
It looked like you were pulling one of those jump cuts.
Yeah. Me and Cadillac practice jump cuts after practice on Wednesdays. No. He thought I was going out of bounds, I think, because I kind of had, I got around the linebacker and kind of slowed my tempo down, my pace down a little bit, and started cruising like I was going out of bounds, stuck my foot in the ground, got around him, and it worked out.
Every extra yard helps, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, no doubt, and especially when the extra couple of yards get you a first down.
Yeah, we talked to Ernest last night. He was our guest on Total Access. That was his first touchdown pass of his career, so I kind of want to get you to go over that, you know, because that was your first win of the game, and it looked like I'm trying to remember the guy's name. He didn't have a very good game. He had a penalty against him. He simply didn't have a good game.
Hardy.
It looked like Hardy was supposed to cover him out of the backfield on that play. He was pretty wide open on that play.
Yeah, he was. And you had to give it up to Coach Olson, man. He had a great plan in mind. He knew that what Carolina was going to do. He formationed him, and the play, I don't know if you saw it, we shifted. Cadillac goes out of the backfield to wide receiver. When Cadillac went out the wide receiver, you see everybody like looking around, wanting to make checks, wanting to move. And when they were all trying to figure out what they were doing, we snapped the ball, and somebody didn't guard Ernest, so it was an easy touchdown.
By the way, for everyone listening at home, his eyes light up when he describes touchdown passes. He gets nice and big eyes. We'll get you guys locked and loaded on the phones. Hillsboro 813-990-4620. I'm not kidding. You do. I'm not kidding. You know, that's all that work that's done out on these practice fields, and an offensive coordinator that's paying off for you. 727-461-4620 and 1-800-596-BUCKS. Another scramble in your very next possession, another 16-yarder. You had to cough up the ball there. And then we get to that next possession, the play of the game, it seems to me. Last week, I think the play of the game was actually Rondé's pick. This time around, 3rd and 17, you got two different young, pretty athletic defensive ends chasing you. And you kind of swat them off the way, you know, like a mosquito lands on your leg. You're old to your right, you set, you throw a dart. I think the ball got 12 feet off the ground, maybe. It was a dart. Winslow, Spider-Man catch on the deep end. And I see you going, because you're kind of laid back, kind of reserved, but I saw the big fist pump. and I was like, man, this kid's a competitor. Tell us about the play. How'd that feel?
Yeah, it felt great, considering it was, 3rd and 17. You know, we had had a good possession the first drive, and we knew that we wanted to follow that up. We wanted to keep Carolina in a chasing position, because we knew, much like the team we're playing this week, if you can get them in a two-possession game, that they're going to have to get away from what they do best, which is run the ball. So getting in a situation 3rd and 17, I mean, your percentages drop way down. I think right around 6%.
Is there a 3rd and 17 play on the chart? 3rd and 20.
Check it down and punt. Yeah. That's usually what it was. But we had it was really good play call. I was thinking I might actually get Kellen down the middle, because they were playing cover two. All the linebackers dropped for depth. And
Kellen actually started way over on the left side of the field.
He started on the left side and really went on a streak right down the middle, and really had a one-on-one with Beeson in the middle of the field. Low percentage throw, but at the same time, he made it the possession before on that 24-yard catch. And
that was a freakish catch too.
And right when I'm thinking maybe I should throw it to Kellen, I get flash of color. So quick sidestep. Got away from pretty easily. Second guy had a little better angle on me, so I kind of looked downfield, set him up, stepped around him, and he got a hold of my leg for a little while, but I was able to pull out of it. And then, the rest, look downfield, and you see these big white gloves just waving. And I mess with Kellen all the time. I say his gloves remind me of the Hamburger Helper, man. But he, Kellen's, he's a competitor as well, great athlete, and he's not going to quit on a play, and fortunately for me, he made that play what it was, you know.
We'll get to the Mike Williams catch right after that for the touchdown, which is another great relationship you're developing with your young wideout. But I got to ask you about scramble drills. Sometimes, you know, if a guy has an intermediate route, is he going to go long? If there's a guy long, is he coming back? But it just seems with a big arm quarterback, we're seeing more guys go downfield once you roll outside the pocket. Is there any system, or is it just find open space?
Yeah, it's obviously, if you're on the other side of the field, you want to work towards the quarterback. We don't really like guys to run away. Like if there's a guy on the sideline, if you're on the sideline intermediate, you usually want to take it up. But if you're on the sideline kind of deep, you want to bring it back. And it's just kind of like a base rules, kind of feeling it out. You know, if you feel like you can beat your guy, beat him. But you just don't want guys going away from where you're scrambling, because
thrown across the field late, that kind of stuff.
Pops in your head. Sometimes it looks wide open, but you never really have a clear view of everything completely backside.
I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but on Ernest's little check down last to the left-hand side, and I think it was Ernest's second field goal. I can't remember if it was his first or second field goal. You were rolling right to your left, and your shoulders really weren't square, and you had Sammy in the middle of the end zone, but it was like throw across the body late over the middle, and you chose to just throw it to the back. Is that that's what you're talking about? Go to a place, but you still have to decide what's the safe throw, right?
Yeah, no doubt. And watching it on film, it would have been a tighter window than a lot of people would have thought, but at the same time, it was a throw that I really think I could have made. But, you know, we checked it down, got the field goal, and got the win. But, yeah, it's tough throwing away from where you're scrambling, due in part to people chasing you.
1-800-596-BUCKS, 813-990-4620-727-461-4620. Every Thursday night, we sit down with number 5, the Josh Freeman Show. We're just getting it underway. Get you out on the phone lines, talk football, talk you name it. You can talk to Steeler game, or you can talk to how he's progressing. Let's get to that 35-yard touchdown, 1st and 10 from the Carolina 35, the very next play. You come to the line of scrimmage, pick it up there.
Come to the line of scrimmage. First of all, I had to get everybody in the huddle, because when you have a really long play like the one we had to Kellen, it's the play clock starts right when that play ends. So you got to get everybody, the O-line, everybody all the way down in the huddle, call the play, get up to the line. And what a lot of people don't realize is Mike Williams had a deep route on the opposite side of the field play before. So when I was scrambling and Kellen was working 40 yards across the field, Mike Williams was working 60 yards across the field deep down. And when Kellen made the play, I mean, Mike was one of the first guys back in the huddle, ran back over in his position, and the play we had called was Mike was the alert if they rotate their coverage the opposite way, and they did that. Mike caught it. And I thought he was going to catch it. We're going to thinking about what plays are going to be called next from about the 10-yard line.
Yeah, kind of was it. You know, was that called a deep slant? It looked like he had lined up
skinny post.
Okay,
so it's a timing route. So. Yeah, he lined up wide split and basically just crossed his face in the corner on his 7th step. And I take an easy 5-step drop, no reset, put it on him, and it worked out.
Yeah, and then, you know, I saw him go over the middle, and I don't want to say he ran over people because that's an exaggeration, but he broke some arm tackles like they were no big deal.
Yeah.
Pretty beastly wide receiver you got there.
Yeah, he's a big physical, call him specimen.
You got that right. All right, we're running a little late, so we'll come back. We'll lock and load those phones for you. Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. They're 2-0. They take on the Steelers, also 2-0. Well, we're not going to talk too much about what the Buccaneer defense is up against, but we've heard a lot about that Pittsburgh defense. We'll take your phone calls when we come back right here every Thursday night on the Buccaneer Radio Network. It's the Josh Freeman Show coming back on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Josh Freeman Show on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 1035. Once again, Buccaneers quarterback Josh Freeman and your host Scott Ledger.
See, we were right in the middle of talking football, and then we had to come back and talk football. Welcome back to the Josh Freeman Show. Daryl and Ron, we're going to come right to you. You guys are ready to talk. Wow, Palmdale, California. Wow, that's an intro. Well, that's a good way to kick off the show. Daryl, welcome to the show.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, franchise? No doubt. Hey, listen, man. I played a little ball back in the day, right? So I understand what it's like to get ready for a big game such as this. Listen, everybody talking about the Steelers, this, this, and that. Listen, we understand that their defense is a tough defense. We understand that. But if you can keep your focus like you have been doing, and we appreciate your effort off season. But if you can keep your focus when times get tough, man, you just keep them moving. You just keep them moving. Because there's going to be trials and tribulations in this ball game come Sunday. But as long as you keep your focus and keep that huddle tight, I truly believe that we're going to beat the Steelers, man. I just want to let you know, man, we appreciate, and I'm sure the fans in Florida appreciate your study habits, man. And I want to let you know there's other people outside of Florida that's watching you get down, and we appreciate what you're doing, man. All right?
Hey, thanks a lot, Derek.
No doubt, man.
I like it. You know, I think you get a lot of hype. Go ahead, bro. You get a lot of hype from you know, all kinds of media sources. You know, there's 900 channels that you're looking at on television, and everybody has an opinion. But basically, you know, it's still 11 guys versus 11 guys.
Yeah,
and it's all matchups.
That's the truth. I mean, the game comes down to obviously your preparation, but also just who gets it done on Sundays. You know, I mean, you can never go into a game feeling like you're outmatched because, I mean,
don't dress up if you're going to go in with that mindset.
No doubt, because, I mean, they might have good players on their defense, but, hey, we've got a lot of good players on our offense too, and it's just a matter of who makes the plays.
Well, you know, every game's different, and they always try to compare the apples and oranges to this team beat this team, so therefore this team. And to me, it's all in the wash. Six or seven plays decide a game. You know, we got to give them props. It's not like these guys are slackers on the defensive side of the ball, but they're known as a blitzing team. You know, and, you know, there are ways to beat blitzes. You know, slow down a blitz with a screen or a delay run and things like that. So, as Greg Olson, I was talking today with a friend, and he said, what do you think the difference might be? I said, it honestly might just come down to the play calling. How about that? You know, if Mike Tomlin's defense is matching up on you guys. So, when you're studying the Pittsburgh Steelers, give them their props. Tell me what you see, but a little bit about how you beat that type of defense.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is their front seven. I mean, you look at their D-line and their linebackers, and I mean, they're big. They're big and they're physical. And what they try to do is, early on in the game, they're not going to really try to disguise it all that much. They're just going to say, hey, we're bigger than you.
Run blitzes? Blitzing on first down, second down?
First down, second down. But they just say, basically, we're coming. And stop us, you know? And that's going to be a challenge for us off the bat. But, I mean, I know Davin Joseph and Jeff Fain and Donald Penn, True Blood, Kedrick. I mean, all those guys are ready to step up and meet the challenge. And we have a great protection plan, like Coach Olson said, as far as play calling goes. I mean, he's got these guys pegged. And it's just going to be a matter of us as players going out and executing.
I asked Ernest last night, I said, if you're in for 10 plays against Pittsburgh, how many times would you be responsible for blitz pickups? He said, 10. I said, then you're ever going to get the ball?
Yeah, I mean, we're not shy about what we're going to see, man.
Yeah, you know what's coming.
Yeah. But it's something that we've been preparing for all week, and I'm really excited about this challenge. It's going to be something different.
Yeah, 3-0 would be nice going into the bye, too. We're going to go back to the phone lines. Ron in Tampa, you're on with Josh Freeman.
Hey, guys. How are you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, we're doing great.
Hey, just a real quick question, Josh. Great game last week and the progression over the Cleveland game. I was at that game and just amazing the way the play calling was going. And it seemed like you guys were in really good sync there. I had a question around the hurry-up offense. I know you have two-minute drills that you guys practice for, but have you guys prepared to do a lot of drills to keep the Steelers off balance? I know that 3-4 is pretty fast. But just curious about what your preparation's been like for this week. And we're going to come in full force this weekend at the tailgate, man. We're going to hope to burn a lot of those terrible, terrible towels with these buck red flags that we got. So
that's
good
awesome.
Luck this week, and I appreciate you taking my call.
Hey, thanks a lot. And I'll tell you, you talk about tempo and getting up to the line. You know, that's been actually a key point of emphasis because with a team that blitzes, it's very critical that you get your protection calls right. So being able to get up to the line with the maximum amount of time, it gives you the opportunities to make your protection calls. Say you're in a protection that their blitz is really good against, you might want to get out of it and audible to another play. So definitely pushing the tempo and trying to change up our cadences and keep them off balance is going to be a big point.
I was just going to bring that up. You know, quarterback, I think it's so under talked about, but you always hear, you know, guys like well, anyways, quarterbacks who sit on the in the booth and discuss offenses and defenses as it's taking place, cadence is such a forgotten thing that real good quarterbacks can keep those blitzing teams, you know, because they're always trying to time that blitz. You always see them walking towards the line of scrimmage and back. So I'm sure you got a couple of cadence, you know, a couple of nice reds in neutral zone. There we go. There's the word, neutral zone penalties. For cadences and things like that, there just seems like a lot of different ways that you can mess with that defense.
Yeah, no doubt. And one thing about the Pittsburgh Steelers defense is, I mean, they're veteran defense. They understand what's going on, understand what the offense is trying to do. And it's been pretty apparent on film that these guys understand the snap count. So you see them oftentimes getting up into the line right away and right when the ball snaps, hitting at full speed. And it's going to be definitely crucial for us to just change up the snap count, kind of keep them off balance, maybe even getting a couple penalties, taking a few shots down the field, some freebies.
Close games, field position so important, special teams is a separate part of it. But last week, 27 carries by Cadillac Williams, a real determination to stick with the running game so far this season. I know we were protecting a lead, so it's a little easier to do that. But it seems like that is a recipe for success. Obviously, it rests your defense, and it keeps those drives going, and it keeps the change moving. Even if you only, you know, there's several, if you look at this, several of those drives that you guys had last week were, you know, two first downs and a punt, but that's 30 yards of field position. Yeah. So sticking with, you know, the running game, and I know you're the quarterback, and, you know, we want to make sure we talk about guys like EG and guys like Cadillac.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. The running game is, it's part of us as an offense wanting to establish an identity. We want to run the ball. We feel like we have two of the better backs in the league. And we want to get the most mileage we can out of them. I mean, it helps us as an offense get into a rhythm, opening up things in the passing game. And also, like you said, it rests, gives the defense more time to rest. And last week versus Carolina, I mean, it was a physical game up front. I mean, they were packing the box, bringing it down whenever we...
Connor and Beeson were running towards the line of scrimmage on the snap almost every play.
Yeah, they get after it. I mean, their front seven was... I mean, really good, really good. And they've been good, even though they've made a few moves this offseason, but they really got after it. But, I mean, if you notice, I mean, Cadillac ran just as hard on his 27th carry as he did on his 50th.
Yeah, the gas in the tank, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. So Cadillac, we love Cadillac. We want to get him the ball, give him the opportunities, and, I mean – I'm looking for him to have a big game this week.
Yeah, it'd be nice. It'd be nice. Hillsborough 813-990-4620. Pinellas 727-461-4620. 1-800-596-BUCKS. It's the Josh Freeman Show every Thursday night. By the way, tomorrow night on Total Access, we'll sit down with Tim Crowder, getting some snaps at defensive end, a couple of sacks last game, and really starting to come on as one of those down linemen for the Bucks. He'll be our guest tomorrow night. The penalty on Hardy. I said he had a bad game, and you know the late flag. You know you had to pull a little Derek Jeter acting there.
Don't call it Jeter acting, please.
All right, it was a minor Emmy nominated performance, but you know he did hit you with his shoulder. Looked like he got your like mid thigh or in the hip or something.
Yeah,
and you had the wherewithal to. Get that flag.
Yeah, they were calling me Paul Pierce for the first part of the week.
Really?
Yeah, but no, it was one of those things where, I mean, he would have ran into me regardless. I'm a big physical guy. I really doubt that I would have fallen that hard, but, I mean, sometimes it calls for...
You got a little punter in you, man. You got a little punter in you.
Yeah, I mean, you hate to do it. You hate to do it, but...
I don't know. Let me see. That was 3rd and 9. And the next thing I know, I see 1st and 10, Carolina 12. Looked like a good play to me.
Yeah,
absolutely. But, you know, move the chains, man. Just like they say in baseball, find a way to get on base, take one for the team. And that's what you did. And that led to another field goal. And you guys got a chance to play with almost a 2-touchdown lead. Is there things that you feel yourself, it's such a generic question to ask, but things that are starting to get a little easier for you? Anything off the top of your head?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. I would say it starts with the week's preparation. You know, I have a lot better feel for our playbook this year than I did last year. So, I mean, I understand the concepts. I understand what coverage, where we're trying to go with the ball, and it's almost becoming second nature. So now I have a lot more time to focus on the defenses, focus on what the defense is doing, what's going on with the defense, and ultimately where I'm going to end up going with the ball.
And, you know, those when you study in film, when do you look at film? Mondays?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
No, of the previous game.
Oh, the previous game? Yeah, yeah. We watched it Monday morning.
And who's grading you out? Ole and Van Pelt?
Yeah, Van Pelt.
Yeah. Yeah. And how are you grading out so far?
You know, I need to work on my carrying out my fakes in the run game.
Just a little bit more. Sell a little bit more on the play action.
I need to look exactly like it looks when I run a naked. Give it a quick burst out of the break. But I have a Cadillac on me a little bit this week. But it's definitely something that I feel like I need to improve to get better as a quarterback. But, yeah, I mean, there's pluses and there's minuses in every game, you know, which is not having those huge minuses, like throwing an interception, any pick sixes, nothing like that. It's but
tweaking it. Yeah, you're tweaking it.
Definitely. And hearing his perspective from actually playing quarterback in the NFL, I mean, it's been very useful.
Boomer Esiason, are you old enough to remember Boomer Esiason?
Yeah.
He was great at play action. Just you could half the time he would fool the camera. You know, he would be sitting there and have the ball, and the camera would be looking downfield at running backs that were, you know, running there with nothing in their hands. And
yeah,
it's just a great way to freeze linebackers, get them flat-footed, or get them, you know, running towards the line of scrimmage, and that's when you can eat them alive with the arm. Let's talk about the wideouts. You know, Mike was the only wideout that caught a pass there. You're playing a good defense. You know, Kellen's really Mr. Third Down. I mean, that's an understatement. But Sammy didn't get a lot of looks this time around. What was it with the wideouts this week where you can get a chance to throw too many balls their way?
You know, well, we only threw the ball 24 times. Like you said, 5-6 throwaways.
Yep. Yeah, true. I think the math. Yeah.
I think the running backs caught 6 or 7 combined. I think Cadillac had one.
Ernest was targeted 6 times.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Ernest had 6. Cadillac, 1 on a check down.
Yep.
So that's 7 plus 4. That's
one
11.
Drop screen pass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. There you go. So, no, it was really, you do the math, and there's 2 extra balls that didn't get accounted for, and those were both the ones to Mike. So I mean, it's one of those games, you know. It's we're probably going to have a game where I might only throw the ball 10 times, but – the great thing about our wide receiver core is that those guys are very unselfish. You know, they're team guys. They're guys that come to work every day. Whether or not they get balls in the game, I mean, they're still going to give you 100% in practice and 100% in the game. And it's great to have guys like that around.
Move the sticks. Be responsible for downfield blocking on running plays. You know, the complete wide receiver.
Yeah, that's
is a good way to put it. Absolutely.
That's all we got.
That's Josh Freeman. It's the Josh Freeman Show every Thursday night on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hillsboro, it's 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And 1-800-596-BUCKS. The Bucks have a chance to go 3-0 going into the bye week. I know your first win last year was against Green Bay, and then then later on in the season it was New Orleans and Seattle. You got 3 wins basically in the 9 games you played. But how about this? The Bucks are 4-1 in their last 5 games. You know, coming off of last season, last 3 games we were 2-1, and of course we're winning the first 2. You know, trends. You look for when the team's trying to turn around. You look for what have they done in their last 5 or 6 games or a quarter of a season, that kind of stuff. And I know you don't keep track of that, but, you know, as a fan that was looking for that ship to turn around defensively last year, we started to see it, and then we saw it little by little by little. You know, you showed your skill set, like we said last week, in the Green Bay game, and then little by little we're starting to see you become the general. You know, in that 5-game spread of the last couple last year and the wins, not just because you won them, not just because you won the games, is that really where you think you turned the corner, right around there? Or was it offseason?
Yeah, I would definitely say it was. We started to turn the corner last year. You know, I mean, we started to turn the corner. We still have a lot of ways to go before we're going to be the team that we want to be. But we started to turn the corner last year. Really, I think the Green Bay game, going out and winning a game that really nobody picked us to win, and then the next couple of weeks we had a couple heartbreakers, Miami and Atlanta, and I mean the attitude changed. You know. And it goes from 0-7, really not a whole lot going on, to we beat the Packers. Really, in my opinion, I thought we could have got Miami and also Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, you see guys start to get, okay, hey, let's get this thing going. And we kind of got those couple wins towards the end of the year last year. Wish we would have got Atlanta in the last game. But we entered the offseason. I mean, I definitely say on an upswing. And added some new parts. And, I mean, everybody's bought in. We're adopting Coach Raheem's mentality, and It's just really a fun place to be around right now.
I haven't asked you, but obviously we want your opinion on the unfortunate circumstances with Tenard, so you can let us know what you feel off the top of your head right here.
Yeah, it's a tough situation. And obviously Tenard's a big part of our defense, big part of our team, and it hurts to lose him. And, yeah, that's I'm going to leave it at that.
Mm-hmm. No, I want to talk about Cody, because if anybody knows how Cody's playing, it's the guy who's been, staring at him. Basically, he's looking at your eyes and you're looking at his. He's on the other side of the field playing free safety, second on the depth chart. Now he's first on the depth chart. So tell us about the rookie.
Well, I'll start with a story about in training camp. First I didn't really like Cody, and that's because Cody was the only guy to pick me off through the first, week and a half of training camp.
More than once?
Yeah, so I was not a big Cody Grimm fan, not because he wasn't a good player, but because I hate throwing interceptions and I hate people that intercept me. So it was, I got to know Cody. He's a great guy, a hardworking guy, and really talented.
Well, he grew up in a football family, and, he played that almost like a hybrid linebacker safety at Virginia Tech. His dad obviously has had him around football his entire life, and it's almost like it's in you genetically, but it just seems like they always, football smarts, savvy, instincts, all those different phrases you always hear. It seems like when a young player is breaking on the football before it's thrown, or he's starting to anticipate, which is another word you hear all the time, do you think he's got those instincts?
Yeah, for sure. Cody's he's a solid football player, very intuitive. I mean, he's not the biggest guy in the world, but, I've seen him come up and smack people before. So I definitely am excited to see what Cody does on Sunday and the season moving on.
I'm not going to say your coach is superstitious, but whatever works, works. And it's 3 weeks in a row now. You've been at the Big Dome practicing on Thursdays in the air conditioning. But Ernest, Ernest made a good point last night. I want you to kind of expound on that. Once you've got your conditioning taken care of in the July and August, there's really no need to go out and throw your body into heat on a Wednesday. It's almost like conserve that energy for the weekend. Lots of teams have indoor facilities. This could be the prelude to that happening, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and their franchise. But how has it been for you to practice indoors for 3 weeks in a row now on Thursdays?
It's worked out really well, obviously it's a bit of a trek over there to St. Pete, but at the same time, the benefit of staying out of the heat and maybe saving your legs a little bit, it's been huge. I mean, we get to the games on Sunday very fresh and ready to go, and the guys have been great, man. We've moved practice over without skipping a beat.
Do you notice any crisper? Not that you're playing on the turf, and that's not what I'm talking about, but it just seems like if you're talking about cooler weather, because out here, if you're practicing for 2 hours, you got to do the mental part of the practice and the physical, but then when you're sitting on the sideline, you're still getting pounded with the heat. Is there a little hitch in the step in practicing in AC? Do you notice that with your team?
Yeah, and Thursday is it's our longest day. I mean, we have a lot of periods, So it's
explain what periods are.
Practice is broken down. I think today we had 15 periods, which range from 10 to 15 minutes, and it's like offensive periods. That I participate in, we have team pass, 7-on-7, team short yardage, third down.
Different scenarios.
Different scenarios, which you kind of go through every play that could possibly be called in that situation in the game. And a few of those periods are special teams, which a lot of guys that participate on special teams. I mean, Coach Passaccia runs a tight ship. I mean, he's going to make sure those guys are ready to go and ready to dominate on Sunday. So I think that the indoor provides those guys with, a little bit of relief from the heat.
You play against a scout team when you're practicing against technically the Pittsburgh Steelers. So who's playing some of the Pittsburgh Steelers this week in practice? Anybody that we know?
Kyle Moore. A little bit. Kyle's been
doing some stand-up linebacker?
Yeah, linebacker. Because, the way they do their front, they have a 3-4, but they can also stem into a 4-3. And it's very subtle. It's one of those things you have to watch and you have to understand so you can get your protection calls right. And Kyle affords us a player that can look like both and do both. So it's been we've been getting very good looks from the defense this week.
There's a guy that used to wreak havoc for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's a coach. We'll talk about him when we get back here. His name is Greg Lloyd. I'm sure everybody remembers Greg Lloyd and Kevin Green on the outside for the Pittsburgh Steelers. about a decade and a half ago, and he's now in the interim coaching ranks here, and I'm sure he's got a pointer or two for you about the Pittsburgh defense. And because we'll talk about him when we come back. We'll get you on the phone lines. We've got a couple open lines. We've got one in Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. We have two open in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And we got one open at 1-800-596-BUCKS. Get on the phone lines. Talk a little Buccaneers 3-0. Say it with me, Buccaneers 3-0. How about that? What a great way to go into the bye week as we take on the Pittsburgh Steelers back here in the friendly confines of Raymond James Stadium. Hit Buccaneers.com. There's still a ticket with your name on it. We want that stadium packed. And we'll come back and do the second half of the Josh Freeman Show right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
With the Josh Freeman Show on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 1035.
All right, welcome back to the Josh Freeman Show. I'm Scott Ledger, side by side with number five every Thursday night. We take your phone calls, so let's do that. We got Craig, Mike, and Josh. We're coming all, you guys. Stand by, but Phil, you're up first out of San Diego. Welcome to the show, Phil.
Hey, how you guys doing? What's up, Josh Freeman?
Hey, what's going on?
Not too much, First of all, I just want to say 3-0 does sound good. I'm a San Diego Tampa Bay fan, so I do have one question for you. During the games, Greg Olsen seems like a really calm guy on press conferences and stuff, but do you guys go at it at all when you're on the sidelines? And just want to say one more thing about Kellen Winslow. He's a native of San Diego, so tell him I got a California burrito when you guys come down here to San Diego.
Yeah, Kellen Scripps Ranch. I got to actually go visit that over the summer. But, yeah, you asked about me and Coach Olsen. You know, our business on the sideline, it's strictly, I guess, professional. You know, we're both trying to win the game. We're both very passionate guys about communicating and about going out and having success on the field. So, I guess any talking that we do, any communication, it's all about how we can go out and do better on the next possession. You know, it's I mean, I feel like I get along really well with Coach Olsen, and I mean, he's taught me a lot about playing quarterback, and so we get a lot of exchange a lot of positive information on the sideline.
That's a good way to put it. It'll end up on NFL films with a couple of beeps in there once in a while. You ended up having to call a timeout. I want to say it was in the second half, and I think you guys were ready to run the ball, and Beeson had. Or you were going to throw a pass, and I'm not sure how it worked, but you checked into a play, the defense checked back into a play, you checked out of that play, and then you ended up having to call a timeout. Those little battle wits happened quite a bit now with you. You starting to feel like you're holding your own against those defenses?
Yeah, for sure. And it's really, I mean, you want to get into a check early on in the game to see what the defense is, what the defense's check is. And we were actually in a pass play. And they were going to drop into coverage, and he checked to their blitz, so I was like, all right, well, I'm going to call a timeout because we're running low on time. No, you don't want to delay a game at that point in the game, trying to run the clock out, needing first downs. And walked over to the sideline. Coach Olsen Raheem, hey, good job. We don't need to lose those 5 yards right here. We need to continue to get first downs. Every yard matters.
I love that. Very good. Josh in Riverview, you're up with Josh Freeman. Appreciate the phone call.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, Josh?
Hey, how's it going, Josh? Hey, I had the opportunity to speak with you towards the end of last season, and we spoke a little bit about the speed of the game. You know, we have a good rookie player on our defense now, and it just seems to me that you guys are coming back. You know, you guys are coming straight out of college, really prepared for the game. I mean, you told me last season that, you know, the speed was there, but it wasn't a big surprise to you. It's just nice to see you settle in, man, and do so well.
Hey,
like you really got your head on.
I appreciate that, man. And, yeah, obviously the speed of the game from college to the pros is it's faster. You know, it's quite a bit faster. But as a quarterback, it's really the mental aspect of the game that allows you to play fast. So it wasn't really a big surprise to see guys bigger and stronger and coverage is getting disguised. It was really – how quickly you process information as a quarterback, and making those quick decisions, getting the ball into the right people's hands.
Of course, Steve Young, everybody knows who Steve Young is. He always says that, you know, most quarterbacks in this league play from the neck down. He goes, the great ones are good from the neck up, and that's really what it is. Everybody can have a big arm. There's lots of big arms that have come and gone in this league and haven't lasted, and it's because they couldn't decipher the information quick enough or they were deciphering the wrong information. So it is definitely a mental challenge. Palm Harbor is where we're going next. It's Mike. You're up with Josh Freeman. Mike.
Gentlemen, thank you for having me this evening. It's a pleasure to be able to talk to the both of you. I just wanted to give a quick compliment to you, Josh, and then ask you a question. I am just really impressed with how poised and intelligent and just professional that a lot of the guys on the Bucks are right now, the stage of their careers. But you and Gerald McCoy, it's very impressive. And I know that the foundation, no matter how we do the rest of this year, the foundation has been laid, and the Bucks fans are proud of you guys. We know that you're going to have a lot of success in your career, so just keep up the good work. And I know Ledge has got to be just impressed sitting there listening to it too. So we're proud of you. But if I could, I just wanted to ask a quick question also.
All right.
Josh, I think in order to succeed in football, you're doing the right things, and you're just so dedicated and spent so much time preparing for these games. But I also think that you kind of got to let your mind rest here and there and you know, get away from football for a little bit each week. And I just kind of wanted to know, what do you do to relax and in your free time? I know you don't have much of it, but what do you do in your free time, and what do you enjoy doing in life besides football? And I'll listen to you off the air, but thank you so much. You guys are doing great, and we're proud of you.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mike. And, yeah, that is something that, I mean, a lot of people that don't play quarterback don't really understand, that you do have to let your mind rest every now and then, you know. But it's still always kind of on football, you know, because you're always really excited about your next game, really excited about preparing for your next game. So yeah, I mean, during the season, I really don't do a whole lot other than football, to be honest. Other than, I mean, Tuesdays, I mean, I'll go hang out with the guys. We might go to the beach, might do something of that nature. Still very relaxing. But at the same time, I like to hang out with my brother. You know, I'm fortunate to have my brother living down here in Tampa with me. And I mean, whether it's just hanging out, playing cards, watching movies, I mean, just really relaxing. I just try to relax when I'm not in my intense mode while working on football.
Does he try to coach you, your brother?
No, he'll
what were you thinking, man?
No, I mean, he's yeah. Him and my father, like, they believe they're my biggest fans, you know. But whenever I get back from the games, he'll be home with my interview pulled up on Buccaneers.com, my post game, and he'll always have a few pointers, a few.
Oh, the podium pointers?
Yeah. He'll have some podium pointers and I guess some podium follies as well. He likes to have a good laugh at me at the podium. So,
well, you know, how many press conferences are you doing? You're doing a post game, and you're doing one regular one a week. Now you're doing the show. So you probably have a media type one in the media 3-4 times in a week now.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, I mean, it's not hard because you're talking about something you know and something you love.
Well, you know, a lot of times, though, you know, certain members of the media are going to try to make a story where there is none, or you know, you seem pretty focused when you're up. I'm in that room sometimes, just standing in the back, just watching you, and I'm like, wow, he's, and I'm sure you have a director, John Gorilla, here at Buccaneers, One Buck, where, you know, you got to get coached in everything almost when you come in the NFL. It's like, you know, it's kind of funny. Gerald McCoy was talking in his first show about signing autographs. He goes, there's even a way to be polite and moving them along and not allow them to spend too much and occupy too much of your time if you got 200 people looking to get an autograph. So there's a skill set in everything. That's what I'm getting to here is, you know, because do you like the media? Do you like being in the media? I mean, would you avoid it if all possible? You just seem like a laid-back guy, so yeah. You don't seem to seek it.
You know, I think it's definitely necessary. I think it's a good part being a quarterback, and it's, yeah, necessary to, I mean, kind of let the fans in your mind, let them know what you're thinking. I like the media in that way. The part that I don't like the media in is when they, I guess, try to exploit issues, and write those negative stories. But, you know, the media doesn't really bother me because, I mean, I try to stay in it in a positive light, and get my message across.
Very good. We're going back to Tampa on a cell phone. It's Craig. You're up with Josh Freeman, Craig.
Gentlemen, thank you for taking my call. First off, kudos to you, Josh, and the rest of your team who've already surprised the entire 90% of the media who thought you'd be probably 0-4. I think you're fantastic, and I'm sure you're just going to get better in the years. My question is this, and this is a technical, it's not in your expertise, Josh, and I'm sorry, but it's been bugging me since Sunday. There was a sweep play that we had, Cadillac going around, and one of the linebackers from Carolina came up and took out the lead blocker, hitting him below the knees. Mm-hmm. And even the broadcaster said, wow, look at that. He sacrificed himself so the other guys could get to him. Why is it okay for a defensive guy to block below the knees and not an offensive? And on the other page, when a running back who's running will lower his head, it's okay for him to lower his head into a defense player, but not for a defense player to hit him in the head.
To use his helmet as a weapon, yes. Yeah.
All right, well, I'll start with the first one as far as the defensive player taking out the blocker. When an offensive player, we are allowed to cut guys' legs out, but it's pretty specific rules. I mean, you have to do it from inside out. You can't come from outside of the field and cut a guy's leg because he's considered a defenseless player at that point. But, it's for the defense, I think it's basically for a non-ball carrier hitting him from the front to the side where he has vision of you. Mm-hmm. So whether or not he can defend himself, I mean, he's not really defenseless because he can see you. And then the other one, as far as lowering your head, it goes back to the whole defenseless player thing. When a ball carrier is running at a defender, the defender, I'd say 99% of the time, sees him coming. And he lowers his head, and it's usually a pretty good collision. But it's more, the rules more so protect quarterbacks coming in, hitting the quarterback head to head. And also hitting a receiver going across the middle head-to-head because, once again, defenseless players, they're trying to protect the guys that can't really protect themselves because the receiver's running through the middle, trying to catch a pass, and then gets hit in the head, maybe gets a concussion, maybe worse. And it's a part of the game I think that the commissioners and the guys writing the rule book are trying to eliminate.
You might see Ernest Graham or kind of like Williams chip on a defensive end. They might help out a tackle, but you can't do it below the knees. You can't engage a guy below the knees who's already engaged.
Yeah, that's
but you can double team him.
Yeah, that's a big penalty. And they're trying to protect the guys who are engaged from ACL injuries and lower extremity injuries as well. And there's a big penalty and a hefty fine involved with that.
Last year, you guys had some problems getting off to early starts offensively, and I'm looking here so far in two games in your first quarter, you've scored 10 points. That's in both games, and two touchdowns in the second quarter, which means you guys are getting off to an earlier and a better start. You know, instead of playing down 17-3, you're up, 14-7, or it's a 13-7 kind of ball game. So, what do you think has been able to be that first half offensive better start? What's it come from?
I think it's definitely us putting an emphasis on it. You know, it's adopting the mentality that Coach Olson came in with on day one of OTAs, which was starting fast. We got to get out there and we've got to start fast. We've got to put points on the board, put the pressure on the other team's offense. Because, I mean, playing from behind, when you win, it's awesome, but you don't want to make a living doing that. So it's really been a point of emphasis to jump out to an early lead or try to keep the game really close, maybe trading possessions. But you definitely don't want to start the game out slow.
Not too many three and outs, honestly, in the first half of both ball games. Like I said, there's been at least one or two first downs. Even if you didn't take it to the house, it was a trade off of obviously time of possession, resting the defense, and it's definitely paid off. So far, your quarterback rating is 95. Like I said, you got four TDs and one pick. Your completion percentage is about 55.8. What's good there? About 60 for you this year? Is there a target for you guys?
I definitely want to be above 60. Thinking more around the range of 65. And I want my pass rating to stay right around where it is. And obviously touchdown interception ratio.
4-1 is good.
Yeah, 4-1 is great, but you know, realistically, the goal is 2-1. I mean, I'm going to try to go for 25-1 right now, but I'm going to do the best that I can and see where the chips fall.
You got it. We'll come back and finish it up, talk a little bit more about the Pittsburgh Steelers, the chance to go 3-0 in Raymond James Stadium. Still some tickets left. Go to Buccaneers.com for those. And will the heat be a factor again? Another cold weather football team coming in to finish up their tour, but their second stop in the NFC South. Remember now the AFC North is playing the NFC South this year, so you're going to be looking at Cincy on the road and Baltimore on the road. But, yeah, we got the Steelers in our hot house, and we'll come back and talk about that in a couple of minutes. The Josh Freeman Show every Thursday night right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Show continues on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE at US 1035.
USF Bulls will be playing some football in Raymond James Stadium on Saturday night. They'll be digging up the track a little. We're hearing maybe some wet weather between that game and our game or during our game. You might be looking at a little mutter track, you know, something old school Bronco in the dirt, Nagurski three clouds and a ball of mud kind of football.
I don't mind.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's going to be
a lot of quarterback sneaks for you?
maybe. It's going to be a physical game regardless, but I have no problem throwing a wet ball.
Yeah, I noticed that. And you were doing that with a broken thumb, too. So, by the way, I got to ask you how the thumb is. Let's get a thumb report.
You know, the thumb is doing a lot better. I mean, yeah. It's healing right on schedule. Obviously, it's not completely healed, but it's pretty solid, and hopefully it'll be completely fine by the bye week.
I read, or you said something about the only thing you noticed any pain was when you were in your back pedal and you wanted to squeeze the ball a little tighter.
Yeah.
Is that really about the – so getting the snap and all, you're past
yeah,
and
yeah.
Major discomfort there?
Yeah, the first game, there was a little bit of pain during the snap, but second game, last game, it felt fine.
All right, you're three games into your – I can't call it your second season. I mean, it is, but you haven't played – you know, I'm going by games played here, really.
Yeah.
Time to, you know, they always say between your first game and your second game, there's a lot of improvement. They say that in your first year and your second year, too. So, you know, are you planning the next, I would say, the next 3 or 4 weeks to are you planning? That's a silly question. Do you hope to continue playing the way you're playing in the next couple of weeks? And does that mean ball security? What does that mean to you? You know,
it means a lot of different things. I mean, obviously, it means ball security. I mean, that's obviously a big point of emphasis in our offense. It means getting more and more comfortable throughout the week, understanding what the defense is trying to bring and understanding our plan to pick up their pressures and their coverages behind it. And then third, I mean, I'd like to start putting more yards up on the board, you know, hitting more big plays, being able to drop back and complete 75 to 80% of my passes for 250, 300 yards a game.
Well, there's a stat where they showed the top 10 plays for last game, and you were responsible for, I think, three of them were running plays, and then the rest were all other than the penalty on you. So you were responsible for all 40-yard, 35, 25, 19, 17. We're seeing more and more plays for this defense over 15, 20 yards now. We didn't see too many of those last year.
Yeah, I mean, last year it was a different team. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. I mean, we had different parts. I mean, I was a different player. And, I mean, it was big plays and consistent play was harder to come by.
A message for the maniacs that will be in that stadium in a couple of days to bring their lungs and help you go 3-0. How is that crowd going to help you out?
Oh, the crowd is huge. The crowd is huge. I mean, they play a big part in the momentum of the game. When our defense has a big sack and we have a big play on offense and we get the stadium, I mean, up cheering, I mean, it gives everybody, I think, a rush.
Well, let's get you a nice picture of you with a terrible towel under your cleat. I like that one. Good show, dude.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Stay healthy. We're bringing him back next week. Don't forget the Josh Freeman Show. Tomorrow night, Tim Crowder on Buccaneers Total Access. Thanks to Jerry Petuck back in the studio. Everybody have a great night on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Josh Freeman Show on 620 WDAE at US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.